the power of the resurrected Lord. Sing about him, preach about him, pray to him. The power of the resurrected Lord. Amen. If you would turn to one verse of scripture, John chapter 5. Sunday nights we've been talking about pursuing his presence. And I trust if you have the life of Christ in you, if you're born again, it's been my prayer the Holy Spirit has challenged you with me to pursue the presence of God in your life. All the presence of God you experience doesn't have to be experienced at church. You can experience him in the automobile. You can experience him at home. Experience him on a walk. Experience him in the night. But there's one thing in common of people who experience the presence of God, and that is they pursue the presence of God. They pursue the presence of God. It's just one verse, but thank you for honoring God's word. We'll read it, and then we will pray. Jesus said, we've already covered this in our Jesus and John, but Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And it's the last part in particular I want us to see tonight. And they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me. The scripture testifies of Jesus. Now, tonight I want to preach on pursuing by perusing the word. You know, I'm always amazed how, I think that one of us got it misspelled. I'll say it's me. I'm always amazed how words change meaning. And today, peruse has almost come to mean take a quick look at. But that's not what the word means. Peruse means to really examine. To really examine something. And so we're going to see tonight that one of the ways we pursue God is by really perusing. Not cruising through the word. Perusing the word. Amen. Would you pray with me and for me? Father, we want to hear your voice tonight. You're the living creator, redeemer God. These are your people, Lord. Lord, help us to hear from heaven tonight. Help our hearts to be challenged. God, help us to encounter you not only in this service, but in the week to come, Lord, even the mundane and daily schedules and tasks that we would encounter you. But Lord, anoint me to teach and preach this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Before I get to preaching this, I'm going to get Brother Michael to go, appreciate his help, but go back to the verse. I'm going to make some quick comments. I usually jump right in something to try to interest you. But I want to point out something that's been a debate ever since Jesus said this, or at least since it was written down. When you read the search the scriptures, the grammar can mean one or two things. It can mean a command. Jesus was commanding them, search the scriptures, because in them you're going to discover me. Or the grammar can also mean Jesus is saying, you do this, you're already searching the scriptures. In fact, all your life you've searched the scriptures, but you're not finding me in those scriptures, even though you're searching them. I think both of them are significant. I think if you put it together, here's what Jesus was saying. You've been searching these scriptures, reading these scriptures all your life. But because of the set of your heart, because of the attitude of your heart, the condition of your heart, you read the scriptures and don't even see me in them. And yet every scripture you read points to me, speaks of me, reveals me. But because of the condition of your heart, you just don't see me when you read the scriptures. The point is, the truth is in the last part of that verse. Whether you saw him or not in Scripture, the Scriptures speak of him. The Scriptures testify of him. The Bible, this is where you discover Jesus. So very simply, Jesus has said, it's in the Scripture that you will find me. So what I want us to do, I want us to go back to last night really quick. And I'm going to need some help. Brother Brian's busy. I'm going to let Dion help me. And you're going to be God walk real slow. If you real slow because I'm trying to get started here, but I'm having trouble getting speeding up here, so you go slow. But you remember last night I asked you, what does this look like to God? It looks like you're going after God. That's what that looks like to God. What does this look like to God? This is what it looks like in the spiritual realm. It looks like you're pursuing God. You can head back this way. What I'm going to say tonight, that is all true. But what does this look like to God? What does that look like to God? It looks like this to God. Every time you open, thank you, Dion. Every time you open your scripture and earnestly read and study, and I'm not going to differentiate that tonight. I could, but I'm not going to. Every time you earnestly read scripture, you are pursuing God. Now, you may not use that codex there. You may use the app on your phone. But if you're in the Word, hallelujah. Confession's good for the soul. I just had a text come up. Michael said it was him that misspelled the word. Isn't that honest? It's good you got someone honest back there. Yeah, thank you, Brother Michael, for all you do. Anyway, it may be your app, and you're turning the pages of God's Word. You know what that looks like to Him? It looks like you're pursuing Him. Because it's in the Scriptures that we pursue Him. Did you know you and I are no more hungry for God than we are for His Word? There's no other way around it. Everyone here tonight, every believer, we are no more hungry for God's Word, we're no more hungry for God than we are for His Word. If I are not reading His Word, if we are not reading His Word, if we're not listening to His Word, we're not pursuing God. You know, please, everyone look straight at me. Don't look at anyone. But I can pretty much tell who's pursuing God when I preach. As I present the Word, I can pretty much tell it. Because it's in listening, the heart of the Christian that listens intently to the preached Word. That's somebody that's pursuing God. So let's put this all together tonight. Let me make some few points. I'll be done in moments. Reading the Word is pursuing God because the Word makes God known to us. If you want to know about God, don't run off to some mountain in Tibet. Okay? If you want to know about God, don't take yoga classes. If you want to know about God, don't go burn some candles out in the woods. If you want to know about God, turn to His Word. This is a revelation of God from God to us. Now, I realize God makes Himself knowable and known in different ways. How many knows that God makes Himself known in nature? From DNA to the electron to the supernova in space, God has made Himself known. From the birth of a baby to the blossoming of a flower, God has made Himself known. But that is not the complete or whole revelation of who God is. God has also made himself known in our conscience. You can take somebody out in the far reaches of Africa, had no contact with civilization, and they know something of God from their heart, saying, this is right, this is wrong. There must be a creator. There must be a God. But not just in scripture or in our conscience, but God has made Him known in the person of Jesus Christ, in the life, in the words, in the ministry, in the death, in the resurrection. He has made Himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. But this right here, this is why we should treasure it. The Scriptures, the Word, the Bible is the revelation of God. It's who it's His showing us who He is. Now let me tell you, of everything I mentioned, you know what the greatest revelation of God is? Of all those things that I mentioned, the greatest revelation of God is Jesus. But let me ask you something. Where do you learn about Jesus? Where do you find Jesus' words? Where do you find Jesus' life? The greatest revelation of God is Jesus. But you find that in the Word. You find it in the Bible. Amen. And so I've been preaching on Sunday mornings, Jesus and John. And my prayer is, Lord, when I cover those scriptures, and we've pretty much been going verse by verse, but my prayer has been, Lord, help us to see Jesus and John. But I want to tell you something. Jesus isn't just in John. Jesus is in Genesis. And Jesus is in Exodus. And Jesus is in Leviticus. And Jesus is in Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges. I'm not going to go all through all 66 books. And there's only one book where God is never mentioned. It's the book of Esther. And yet, by not mentioning God, he's even more evident that he's the one that's controlling things. I'm just trying to tell you, wherever you read this book, it's a book about Jesus. Why? This is a book about redemption, and Jesus is a redeemer. Reading the Word is pursuing God because the Word makes God known to us. Amen. I've already told you, revealed this morning, but I am so disturbed at some of the things modern churches are adapting. And one of the real popular things is it goes across denominational boundaries. But one of the things that has become so popular recently is the labyrinth. You may have never heard of that, but it's just flooding our nation. Labyrinth is a maze. And they'll either go out on the church lawn and make a maze or a labyrinth, or they get these huge canvases and they clear out a room and put it in. And what they're teaching people is, if you want to get close to God, you begin to find your way through this maze and pray your way through this maze and stop here and pray this. And by the time you get to the center of that maze, there you will encounter God because you've prayed the labyrinth. People do that not even knowing that it has pagan and Eastern mysticism and all those kinds of roots. It's involved in that. Another thing, I mean, there's nothing wrong with burning a candle, but now they're teaching that to really get close to God, you need to burn candles. And you need to burn candles, certain kind of candles for this and certain kind of candles for that. I want to tell you, that's just real spooky because that's what they do in the occult. Yeah. I want to tell you, if you want to get close to God, we've already covered prayer, but if you want to get close to God, it's not in the labyrinth, it's in the Word. Amen. It's not in the candles. It's in the light of the illumination and revelation of God in the Word. Amen. I said amen. Amen. God's not known in our emotions. It may affect our emotions. God's not known just in these special thoughts we get and impressions from nowhere. God's not known in visions and dreams. Not today. Amen. God's not known in coincidences. Those are all auxiliaries to God's moving. I want you to know how God is really made known. He's made known through the Scriptures. These are they which testify of me. I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for our spontaneity as Pentecostals and the worship that we have and our singing and people's testimonies and the special songs and our prayer meetings and all that. But I want to tell you, church, I really believe this. At no point in the Scripture should we be more aware of the presence of God than we are in the preaching of His Word. Do you hear me? At no point in the Scripture should we be as aware of His presence like we are in the preaching of His Word. Let's move on quickly. Well, I can't move. I got just a little bit more. I'm sorry. If God is in there and we desire, I'm talking about this Bible. If God is in there and we desire God, we'll be in there. Right? And if you and I really desire to pursue His presence, we will read this Word. Let me ask you something. How can you read through the Gospels and see what Jesus did and not desire that Jesus would do those things among us? How can you read through the book of Acts, how the Holy Spirit moved and drew hundreds and thousands of souls out of darkness? And how can you not read the book of Acts and begin to say, God, we want you to move like that amongst us? How can you not read an Old Testament story like the walls of Jericho coming down and not feel like, oh, God, manifest yourself in a way that people will have victory as you tear down their walls? Amen. He's in the book. Now, one of the things that I hear people say sometimes today is they remark that God just doesn't seem very real to them. But see, here's what the deal is. If you want to know where God made Himself real to people, you read the Scripture. Those people knew God was real. Burning bush, right? They knew people was real. Fiery furnace, and all of a sudden He's among. So if you feel like God isn't very real, why don't you read the book that gives the accounts when God made Himself real to people like you and I, you and me. Amen. So let's move on tonight. Reading the Word is pursuing God because the Word gives us the stuff of prayers. There's a lot of places we could go tonight if we were speaking about prayer, but we're speaking about the Word. And, you know, if you really read the Scripture, you will find it will give you the vocabulary, the ideas, the expressions of prayer. It'll begin to affect your prayer life. Why is that important? Because prayer is pursuing God, right? We've covered that. So if I read the Word, I get that which helps me to pray. Let me do this tonight, not to talk about me, but to give you an example. As I began to think about this, I was amazed in my praying how much of it was Scripture. This is from one prayer season. I found myself praying, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is established in heaven." I found myself praying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I found myself praying, "God, it is you that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture." I found myself praying, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name." I found myself praying, "Oh God, I'm not worthy of the least of these thy mercies." I found myself praying, "Oh God, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing." I found myself praying in that prayer, "God, you are my shield and my buckler and the lifter of my head. Oh God, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Oh God, you remember my frame. You know that I am but dust. Oh God, there's none like you. There's none beside you. There's none except you. There's none compared unto you. Oh Jesus, I know that you ever live to make intercession for me." And sometimes I like other things that come from Scripture. "Oh God, you are the God of Abraham that made promise to him that his seed should be like the sand of the seashore, innumerable as the stars, uncountable. You're the God of Isaac that walked with him in the fields in communion. You're the God of Jacob at the top of the ladder of the angels ascending and descending, that touched his thigh and he never more was the same. You're the God of Joseph that gave him dreams and visions, and you took him from the very pit in the dungeon and gave him the diadem and took him from the pit and put him in the palace. You're the God of Moses. You're the God of the burning bush that burned and it was not consumed. You're the God that divided the Red Sea and gave manna in the wilderness and water out. You're the God of Joshua that brought the walls of Jericho down and gave him victory after. You're the God of Samuel that revealed yourself to him as a child. You're the God of David that gave him psalms and songs in the night, and victory over the bear, and victory over the lion, and victory over the giant. You're the God of Solomon that gave him wisdom. You are the God of Isaiah, high and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. You are the God of Jeremiah. You're the God of Ezekiel that sits on that chariot throne with the wheel inside of a wheel. You're the God of Daniel that shut the mouths of lions. You're the God of the three Hebrew children that walked with him in the fiery furnace so that they were not burned. But you are the God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are the God in the Spirit that moves amongst us. I'm telling you, that all comes from Scripture. Amen. It's the stuff of praying. It's the vocabulary of praying. Thirdly, tonight, reading the Word is pursuing God because the Word keeps us from sin, which keeps us from God. If there's sin in my life, I'm not going to draw close to God, right? But this Word will keep me from sin. It was very adamantly and accurately put many, many years or centuries ago that sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. How many believes that? sin is distance from God. So if this keeps me from being distant from God, it draws me close to God. Amen. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, we had a prayer request for one of our sisters tonight that has quit eating, and we all immediately understood that's very serious. When someone loses appetite and quits eating, we understand that. And if you go to the doctor, one of the questions they'll do in a real checkup, they'll ask you, how's your appetite? Isn't that right? And I want to tell you, if you tell that doctor, I don't have an appetite, something's wrong. There's some unhealthiness there, big time. I'm going to tell you, if a believer and a Christian does not have an appetite for the read word, appetite for the studied word, appetite for the preached word, if they do not have an appetite for the word, there's some real unhealthiness there. And almost always, the unhealthiness is sin. And if the unhealthiness is sin, they haven't been in the book. Not really. Right? Here's what Peter said. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You see, there's something in the healthy believer's heart. I got to have that word. It's sin that keeps from that. Amen. When you can look and they're evidently in their life choices moving towards the world, in their life choices, they're not hungering after God. They're hungering after other things. They make decisions that all-out Christians don't make. They have attitudes that humbled and gracious or grace-loving Christians don't have. When they're attracted to the things of this world rather than the things of God, you don't have to be a Sherlock to determine they haven't been in the Word. How many knows this word changes our attitudes about things? This word makes us inclined to one thing. And it's not this world. It's the things of God. Amen. Look what Jesus says in Matthew. Jesus answered and said to them, and I don't have time to go into this story. It's a great story. I'm not taking it out of context. But Jesus said, you do err. Why do you err? Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. They erred because they didn't know the scripture. I think it's also interesting here that he couples knowing the scriptures with the power of God. They go together. People err because they don't know the scriptures. Amen. The psalmist said in 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Did you know the path that the word reveals is the path to God? So when you're in the book, not only does it keep you from sin, it keeps you on the path to God. Last of all tonight, words every congregation loves to hear a preacher say. Reading the Word is pursuing God because the Word is God's voice. I want to tell you something. This is not a dead document. This is alive. The Word of God is quick. That's an old word. It doesn't mean it's quick. It means it's alive. Like the quick of your fingernail is the life of your nail. The Word of God is alive. Now, here's the thing. We all know this. Let's all be honest. How many is ready for a time of honesty? How many has read a whole chapter of the Bible and turned several pages and don't remember that you even turned the pages or even remember that you read anything? It happens, doesn't it? How many drove to church and didn't even know how you got here? Don't even remember how you got here. So listen, it's not cruising through the Word. It's perusing the Word. How many has read your Bibles on cruise control? Abraham Lincoln said he always read things out loud. That way he got it twice. Once with his eyes and once with his ears. I said all that to say this. It's not a magical thing like a supplement, like a vitamin, you know, a verse a day keeps the devil away. It's not some magical kind of thing. It's simply this. When we read the Word of God hungrily and attentively, He speaks to us. It's alive. He speaks to us. I've told people over and over, it's so wonderful that you're reading the Scripture, but listen to what God is saying to you today. It may be one verse. It may be one phrase. And I don't have time to talk about Bible study tonight and how important context is and all that, but when you read, expect and listen for God to speak something from what you're reading for you that day. How many believe He'll do it? Some of you definitely need encouraged. It's in there. Encouragement is right here. Some of you, if you're honest, you're really confused about some things. It's in there. Right? Some of you feel awful lonely. It's in there. Some of you have had darkness attack you. Light is in here. And if you'll read this, the Lord has something to say to you. We're not talking about Bible study tonight and how unique interpretations are almost always usually wrong. But we're talking about a Lord that knows how to say something that addresses us individually, our situation, our need, who we are, where we're at, what we need right now from this book. And so as you read, listen, God is saying something. Now let's forget. Go ahead and come, music. Let's forget that we live in the age of technology. Can we do that for a moment? And you can't make a phone call. You can't send a telegram. You can't FaceTime. Can't Skype. So before technology, if you heard somebody's voice, you might have thought they were 1,000 miles away. But before that kind of technology, if you heard somebody's voice clearly and distinctly and knew it was their voice, what's the only thing that you can conclude? They had to be there. They had to be near. That's why reading God's Word is pursuing Him. Because when you hear His voice right here, you'll know that He's near. You'll know that you found Him. You know that you've entered into His presence. In the Bible, there's good stories. But it's not just about the good story. In the Bible, there's wonderful history. It's not just about the history. In the Bible, there's wonderful theology. But it's not just about the theology. It's about God speaks to me. Now, He's not going to speak something to you from this that contradicts this. Right? Right? But He wants to talk to us. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder the soul and the spirits and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. And so, in conclusion, first thing I want to say is it's never too late. What are you talking about? One of the things I have felt compelled to do throughout my ministry, started it in the Bible school, and then as I preached youth camps and then later as a pastor, is to challenge people to read the Bible through. And when I came here, we had an elder in the church that was, when I first came, he was real close to 90, and when I made the challenge, he was in his 90s, and I made the challenge to read the Bible through. He got so he couldn't come to church, and he was in the nursing home. I went to see him in the nursing home. I walked in one day, and he was so excited. He was just doing this, and he was excited. He said, "Pastor, I did it. I did it." I said, "Did what? You know, nursing home. What'd you do?" He said, "I read the Bible all the way through." And then he started confessing. He said, "I've been in church all my life. I've been an elder of the church, and I had never read the Bible through." He was about 94 at the time. I want to tell you, it wasn't too late for him. It's not too late for you. I want to encourage you, read the Bible through. It's the Word of God. I'm trying to stay off the soapbox where the modern Christianity says we should challenge everything that's in here and recognize that it's old and archaic and antique. No, no, no. This is as contemporary, this is as valid right now as it's ever been. But what I am saying is, we close. If we know we're going to pursue God by reading His Word, it's not just going to happen. We have to, first of all, make a commitment and say, I'm going to. If you don't, I'm sure many, many of you do. But if you don't read Scripture every day, it starts with a commitment. God, I want to pursue You. I'm hungry for You. I'm going to read Your Word. But you also, with the commitment, need a plan. And I'm not going to that. I've done the practical side of that before in your apps, or we can print one out. There's all kinds of plans. You can read the Bible chronologically. You can read the Bible canonically. That means the way the books are in the Bible. You can read the Bible, and there's other ways to do it. But find you a plan. You can get an app that'll notify you. You haven't read today. Okay? Whatever. But we're going to pursue God, aren't we? We're going to get into His Word. You pursue Him by reading His Word. Could you stand across the building? I made some notes to myself, and I'm closing with this. I made a note to myself. Listen, this is for the young people. I said, I don't know how any young person is going to make it trying to serve God in our time without daily being in the Word. Then I got to thinking about that. I thought, I don't know how any parent is going to raise their children to serve God in our time without daily being in the book. And then I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I don't know how any middle-aged couple, past middle-aged couple, is going to make it and be a godly example to their grandchildren if they're not daily in the Word. And then I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I don't know if any senior is going to make it without daily being in the Word of God. And I know many of you are. I know some of us already read the Word through about 3 times this year already. Yeah. I think of Brother Combs. What a righteous, faithful, godly man. You wouldn't believe how many times he read his Bible through every year. Someone gave him a different version, and he read it all the way through. And they said, what do you think? And he said, well, it was a good book, but it wasn't the Bible. But he read it all the way through. Amen. How do we pursue God? Through His Word. Amen. I don't know. Maybe someone needs to make a commitment or get a plan for that tonight. I believe we'll find Him. Hallelujah. I'll let you go after this. You can always tell when people's really reading their Bibles. You can tell it the way they testify. You can tell it in their attitude. You can tell it the way they pray. You can tell it in their faithfulness or lack thereof, whether they've been in this book. It's a transforming book. Why? Because it testifies of Him. You encounter Him in His Word. God bless you. Could you come? Let's seek Him. Maybe make that commitment. Maybe get that plan.